I'm speaking today with Sarah Winkler, who is running for Democratic nomination in House District 137, which is the seat that is currently held by Representative Scott Hochberg. Sarah, first question, why are you running for this office?
Well, the reason I ran for the school board 14 and a half years ago was because of my passion of public education. And when I heard about all the education leaders that were retiring from the House and the Senate, I just thought this was the right time to run for the House because we need more people that are knowledgeable about public education with, you know, on-the-ground knowledge where they've had to actually deal with it for years.
As you say, you serve on the Alief ISD school board. You were the Alief ISD board president recently. So you're kind of on the business end of what the legislature did in 2011. How have the budget cuts from the legislature affected your school district?
Well, Alief was in pretty good financial shape because we had a tax rate election before this all happened. But we did have to, as people were leaving, either retiring or moving to a different district, we didn't fill those positions. So technology, for instance, we had less of our technology specialists, and that's been a big problem, you know, with the campuses having to share. So some of the services have been a little slower than they've been before. We didn't cancel any programs, but it has affected the kids, a little bit bigger class sizes. And as you know, parents don't like that. It's difficult for the teachers. People don't realize that one child can really make a difference. You know, there are all kinds of different kids in various classrooms with different needs, and that teacher needs time to work with them. And we're concerned about future budget cuts, obviously. I mean, we have a lot of programs that we need to serve the kids to increase that graduation rate and make sure that everyone's getting ready to move on to something after high school. We're not just wanting them to graduate. We want them to be able to go to some kind of higher ed.
Now, I mean, has Alief ISD joined one of the many lawsuits that's been filed over school finance?
Yes, we're in the taxpayer fairness lawsuit, which is the Equity Center lawsuit.
Okay, so that's one that talks about the method that Texas uses to allocate finance. Talk to me a little bit about how that has affected Alief, and I assume that all of this essentially stems from the 2006 special session where, you know, there was the tax swap that everyone knows about, but it was also the case that allocations were frozen at that time.
Right. Target revenue. Unfortunately for Alief, we're on the low end of the target revenue scale. Not the very lowest, but very low compared to, say, HISD or Spring Branch, you know, several other districts in the Houston area, which is why we had to have that tax rate election. So our taxpayers, for instance, are now paying $1.12.5 per hundred, as opposed to HISD's, which are, you know, just a little over a dollar. And so we felt like not only for our students, we're not getting the same funding per student, our taxpayers are paying more to get less from the state. So in fairness to our taxpayers, we felt like we needed to join this lawsuit.
So, you know, everyone talks about how the legislature doesn't fix school finance unless it's got a gun to its head in the form of a court order. Assuming that the Supreme Court once again rules that what Texas is doing is unconstitutional, what would you, as a legislator, want to do to try and fix it?
Well, first of all, we have to fix the distribution system, but I don't want to pull down the districts that have more funding to get to a lower level. In other words, dump, get everybody down. I want to float all boats. We're going to have to put more money in this system. I mean, there is no way to be able to serve these students by taking what we have now and redividing it among various districts and having a bunch of winners and a bunch of losers.
All right. Well, I mean, you kind of anticipated my next question. How do we get more money in it? I mean, can you fix the business margins tax? Do we have to look for something else?
Well, we need to start by fixing the business margins tax because that was a promise that the legislature broke, essentially, to school districts. We're going to replace that money when we make you compress these tax rates, and it was never enough to do that. There's also money in the rainy day fund. That's not a savings account. They get more money automatically going into that account. It's not like the school district's reserves where you have to actually actively put it in there. You also need to look at some of the tax breaks and tax loopholes that already exist in various taxes that we have. If worse comes to worse, we may have to look at increasing the sales tax base or the rate. I mean, we're going to have to look at ways to get more money, not just for education, but for health care. CHIP is a big program that is, you know, we're having problems with that. Look at the Women's Health Program. So there are some basic services in this state where we are so far down the list compared to our neighboring states that, you know, we should be ashamed that that's all we're doing for our taxpayers.
I'll come back to the Women's Health Program in a second, but I guess the other hot-button issue related to education is standardized testing. As you know, Texas Education Agency Commissioner Robert Scott recently said that Texas maybe puts too much emphasis on standardized testing. We've got the new STAR tests coming in, and some people are concerned that the STAR tests haven't been properly funded, and also that, you know, the new end-of-course exams for high school students may affect the dropout rate. Does Texas put too much emphasis on standardized testing? And if so, what would you change about it?
Absolutely, we do, because the problem is that it only tests certain areas, so any other courses that aren't tested have gotten short shrift in recent years. I have children ranging in age from my own children, 36 down to 21, and I firsthand can have seen what has happened to education, the differences between what my 36-year-old was exposed to versus what my 21-year-old was exposed to. The problem with the STAR test, as far as funding goes, is that we don't really know what's on the test. They haven't released questions, you know, so all we know is sort of in general what might be there. So we're rather concerned that these poor students, first of all, we did take that 15% exemption, by the way, or get rid of the, you know, we had the option to not have that count as 15% of their grade, the high school students this year, and my district went ahead and voted not to do that. Districts aren't being rated this year. Students are still going to have this count toward their graduation, but it shouldn't affect their grades, too. That's almost like super high stakes. I think it will. I don't know that it will increase the dropout rate, but I think it will keep us from making it better because taxes affected the dropout rate a lot. I mentor students, and I have one that had to take math tax 8 times. And that made it a year extra for her to graduate. Not every student will take a test 8 times. I don't know if I would want to take something 8 times. I mean, after 2 or 3, you think you're never going to pass. We're going to have to find a way to still be accountable, but not to put so much emphasis on just this one test, because it's driving the entire curriculum into this narrow little area. And I don't think that's good for the future of Texas, to have kids just learning how to take tests. And to some extent, that's what's happening.
All right, the Women's Health Program. I'm not going to give you a big wind-up for this question. You know what's been going on. What's your opinion on this situation?
Well, I can't believe that we're giving up $9 for every dollar we put in. I mean, just economically, this is a terrible idea. But Planned Parenthood gives wonderful services to the state of Texas. Most women, or a lot of women, use Planned Parenthood, so saying they can go somewhere else is not very reasonable. I think that the governor did absolutely the wrong thing, and we need to come back in the next session and change that law that gives him the, you know, says that we can't give money to groups that do any or associated with the group that has abortions.
All right. Can you think of any legislation that you would want to work on that is specific to District 137?
Specific to District 137, well, there's been some big issues about nightclubs that were very near the Sharpstown area. And I know Scott has done some legislation to help with that. I think there's still some problems there that we need to find some way to make sure, with the no zoning we have in Houston, that there's some way that neighborhoods can be protected more from these kind of businesses without affecting, you know, businesses so much that we drive away, you know, good businesses. But I know from the residents in that neighborhood, they felt like it's a matter of public safety, and I agree with that. The management district in Ailey probably needs some tweaking. It's brand new. I haven't talked to the Sharpstown management district yet, but if they have some legislation that they think needs to be carried to make sure that management district is doing all it can do for that area, there's that. Education is important to this area. As you asked about the testing, Scott Hotberg had a very good bill last session that was, I believe, House Bill 29, that said that if a student scored very high in third grade on the tax, they would not take the fourth grade tax. And then if they did well in fifth grade, they wouldn't take 6 and 7. That would be a way to cut down on testing, and I think I'd like to bring that legislation back to find a way. That would cut down on testing a lot, especially for kids that don't need all that remediation and testing. And I think people out here are very concerned about the accountability issue. I've heard a lot. Everyone who asks me about when they find out I'm on a school board, it's not about money. It's about, what about all this testing? You know, my child had to go off to college and take remedial courses. You know, we need to find a way so parents aren't paying for remedial courses. That's very upsetting, as you can imagine, because it doesn't count toward graduation. So they're paying money for courses that don't even help their kids get ready for a job.
Okay. Talk to me about what District 137 looks like now compared to what it was previously. And, you know, as you know, there's still litigation ongoing surrounding redistricting. What, if any, changes you think should be made or you would like to see made to the district as the litigation resolves itself?
Well, 137 has kind of been ground zero on the redistricting. In every map, it was different. And the district as it stands right now, I believe, is okay for now. I would have liked to have seen it. I like the first corridor map a little bit better. But this one is okay. It contains a lot of the same area it did before with a little bit more of A-Leaf, and I believe it goes a little farther north and not quite as far south. But I think the people within this district are, by and large, have similar interests, which is important. You want a district like that. I don't think this is the end of it, unfortunately. I think next session that this will change all over again. Even if this goes forward with the courts, you know, the state is likely going to come back and revisit.
And, well, you know.
Which is tough. I mean, I feel sorry for the people who live within districts like this one that keep changing constantly. When I've talked to people, they don't really know what district they're in right now. You know, they say, oh, well, last time I was in 136, or, you know, I don't know where I am right now. So, I mean, getting them to realize where they are, when I might add the voter access list is still not updated, voter registration cards are not out. We've had problems getting the actual precinct maps. I don't know that they actually have them yet. You know, they were redrawing them. It's supposed to be ready by, I think, end of last week. Can't get that information yet.
I mean, this District 137 has always been a very diverse district, and it's always been, you know, I believe it was the most, you know, geographically smallest district because it was very densely populated, lots of apartments. You know,
still,
how do you campaign in a district like that?
Well, of course, I've campaigned out here. The part where A-Leaf is, it may not be the biggest part of this district, but it's very similar demographically to what 137 is, and it's the second most densely populated school district in the state. And I've campaigned 5 different times there. So, you know, you really have to do a lot of on-the-ground, door, you know, one-to-one talking to people. It's not a very good idea just to blanket the area. People don't like that. You really have to concentrate on making yourself known, getting your name out there, attending community events, talking to people who will introduce you to other people. But it's hard when there are a lot of apartments. It really is, because people move very frequently, and sometimes they just are not interested in voting because they're so busy trying to make a living and take care of their kids. And even if you say, well, it takes just a few minutes, they don't even want to bother. And so you have to convince them why it's important to vote, what difference it can make for that one vote.
Well, and you have 3 opponents in the primary, which, as we know, will be on May 29th. When people go to vote in this primary, why should they vote to make you the nominee to succeed Representative Hochberg in District 137 and not one of your opponents?
Well, I believe I do kind of stand out from the others. I'm the only woman in this race. I have a family. I have 5 children that I've had to go through public school and had to pay for them to go to college and dealt with, you know, all the costs of college escalating every year, trying to get loans for them. I have 14 and a half years experience with hands-on knowledge about public education, which is very, very important to a lot of people in this district. School finance in particular is a strong interest of mine, and the accountability system. And I've worked very closely with Scott over the years. He's taught me a lot about what I know about school finance, and I believe I bring proven leadership to this position. I've been elected to the office I'm in now 5 times, and I think this area deserves someone who's a proven leader who could hit the ground running, and I believe I'm that person.
All right, Sarah Winkler, thank you very much for talking to me today.